Bonjour, bonjour, and welcome to another episode of EveryoneHatesMarketers.com, the marketing podcast for startup founders, tech people, and marketers who are sick of marketing bullshit. I'm your host, Louis Grenier. So today's episode and today's title sounds a bit clickbaity, doesn't it? Like how to send emails with 83% plus open rate. Well, my guest today actually has those numbers. He actually sends emails that get opened by some of them by more than 80% of people. And he does that by using a system that just makes complete sense. And yet, I would argue more than 99% of people never use that, at least email marketers. And it's true, isn't it, that you sign up to an email autoresponder or you sign up to download something, to download the guide, or to sign up to a newsletter, and you start receiving emails that are not relevant to you. You start opening them, and after a week or two, you stop opening them, and yet the company still sends you emails that you don't care about. But there is a better way to actually send emails that people will care about, that people will be interested in, that will make people trust you. And this is a system, a way of thinking that my guest today, André Chaperon, has mastered. He's a master copywriter, a master email marketer that I truly admire. He has a way with words and with emails that is just truly amazing. And in this episode, you will learn how to send emails that get opened by 83% plus people. Like, you will understand the system that is being used to segment people the right way, to delete people from your email database, to know how to send the right email at the right time, to use email autoresponders to send the right email at the right time. I mean, there's plenty of principles, plenty of practical things that you will learn in this episode, that I've learned in this episode, that really makes me feel and understand that the way I, for example, currently ask for email and send email is almost obsolete and needs to be changed. So I really hope you will get a lot of value out of this episode with my guest, André Chaperon. He owns the business called tinylittlebusinesses.com, and he has a course called Autoresponder Madness, which is what we're going to talk about today in more details. So have a listen and let me know what you think. André, what a pleasure to have you on the show. To explain to the listeners who you are and why we are in touch right now, what happened was you sent me an email a few months ago at this stage about the podcast. And I just thought you were, you know, somebody who wanted to learn about marketing, somebody who just started out, because there are a few people who contact me who are in this, in using this angle. And then I looked at what you were doing and I was like, oh, wow. Right. So listeners will know that I'm not a fan of bullshit and I don't really try to lie to impress people or to compliment them, but you are the best copywriter I've ever come across, and I mean it. Your work is sensational. I read your courses from start to finish, and that's something that I don't do. I don't read stuff from start to finish. So first of all, let me tell you, well done really on all the work, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, you're welcome. And it's interesting that you've referred to me as a copywriter, because I'm not a copywriter. I've never been through a copywriting course before in my life. I do own a few, but I've never been through them. I just write naturally. And I think if you really understand the needs of an audience, it just kind of, you know, works itself out. So I'm definitely not a copywriter though.
Well, I'm not a marketer either. You know, I didn't study marketing. I studied 1 year of business and marketing, but I'm not a marketer in your definition either. I think you are a copywriter. You're a damn good copywriter and a damn good marketer at it, because I believe that marketers have very good empathy for people and are able to understand them very well. So I agree with that. It's probably the part of it. So, okay, people are really interested in today's episode, because we're going to talk about something that is pretty vastly done in the marketing world, which is email marketing and email autoresponders, email series, or whatever you want to call it. So you have a pretty interesting view on the problem that email, traditional per se, email autoresponders have. So what's wrong with email autoresponders today?
Well, I think there's probably a lot wrong with them, and in all sorts of reasons and ways. But one of the things I wanted to do early on is, I'm not a fan. I love storytelling, and so I kind of use storytelling in the emails. So very early on, I was trying to figure out how I can implement this. And the best way to solve that problem was using autoresponders. And another element of that is because I'm somewhat lazy and I just didn't see the need to send out broadcast emails, you know, day after day after day manually. And there's all sorts of things wrong with that and broken with that, and things that I personally don't like about that, which is why I just never did it and tried to figure out a different way of doing it. So yeah, so from early on, I was just using autoresponders, and then I got better at telling stories that span across a whole bunch of emails. So you basically serialize your communication with people, and you know, much like when you're watching TV and your latest, you know, soap opera or whatever, it does the same thing. So it just basically takes a certain narrative of what you want to say, and it just plays it out over multiple emails. That's probably the easiest way to say it. But I guess to answer your question, I think it's just easier for people to write an email and click send and it goes out to the list. So that's what people do, right? It's a bit more complex and takes a bit more time and energy and mental thought to do it the other way, which is, you know, write a whole bunch of emails and stack them all together and make sure that they're all following on some sort of narrative. Does it make sense?
It does. So what's wrong with broadcast emails in particular? You said there's a few things that are wrong with them.
Well, for one thing is they've pretty much, you send them in isolation, right? So you write something, there'll be a certain message that you want to put out, and you click send, and typically, although not always, but for the most part, email marketers will just send it to the entire list, right? So if they have a prospect list and they're trying to sell something, they'll just, you know, target the entire list and click send. So that email is going to go out to everybody. So the few things that are wrong with that email is not going to be relevant to every single person at that point in time. It's also somebody that's just subscribed that very day, suddenly, you know, that very first contact with you is this email, and that may be a marketing, you know, that email might be selling something. So that very first connection that they have with you is trying to sell them something. Or you could have sent this amazing email that's just like totally awesome, and somebody subscribes the next day. So they now never ever going to see that email. Yeah, so that's what I basically try to fix, and using autoresponders. So then I can, at least for the first few weeks, I can control that entire narrative, whereas I get an opportunity to connect with a certain person, and they get no other emails from me other than those emails that have been pre-programmed in and take them down a certain journey. So then I can earn their trust and attention.
So it will be a little bit like selling a book to someone, but instead of starting at chapter one, you start at chapter 49, but they can't go back to chapters before, right?
Yes, right. And, you know, it's kind of random. I mean, you can subscribe to someone's list and you just might join when they're in the middle of some promotion and you suddenly get these promotional emails and, you know, there's a disconnect.
So what we describe here is basically what I do, which is pretty shitty, right? And I'm not trying to sell anything apart from make, as you said, you know, grabbing people's attention so that they listen to the podcast and hopefully changing their mindsets and helping them along the way. But that's exactly what I do. For every episode, I would publish, I would write an email. It would get very little attention, even though I start to have a lot of people on the email list. It gets very little attention compared to what I think it could be getting. And the only thing I do send at the start is a small autoresponder sequence of three emails automatically sent 2 days after the other. And you actually went through the sequence and you probably went, oh my God, this is very poor. And I know you did. I know you do. You don't have to say it. So this is the problem we're going to try to solve in this episode, is that most of us suck at sending emails. Most of us suck at trying to convince people to do what we want them to do using emails. And we have with us right now somebody who nailed the process of really understanding what people care about, really understanding how to tell a story in order to hook people in so that they keep reading. And so that, as you said, you can earn their trust And trust is probably the number one currency of marketing. If people trust you, you can have a proper relationship with them. You don't even have to sell them. You know, it happens. People trust you and therefore they buy your stuff. They listen to you, and they consider you as an expert or somebody who knows their stuff. So today, what I like to do with you is really go through a step-by-step process for people to build an email autoresponder, an email sequence that actually works, that will really hook people and interest them.
Sounds good to me.
Right. So let's say we have a business that sends autoresponders, not autoresponder, that will send once an email once a week or once every month with updates around, you know, what they've been doing. And they want to switch their focus to try to make those emails a little bit more effective. So what would be the first step towards this outcome?
So I'm all about context and understanding that context. So basically what I mean by that is when somebody comes to your website and then joins your email list, right? There's going to be something that they've seen, some promise that's been made. And then they'll, as a result of that, they then subscribe, right? So when I talk about context, it's that. So if you go to someone's clothing store, and they have a newsletter, well, there's going to be some sort of promise to get me on the list, whether it's just, you know, get our updates on whatever, or it's typically going to be a bit more specific than that. So understanding the reason why someone's joined the email list is very important because it gives you some sort of signal or a clue as to what they're interested in, right? So I think that's where everything has to start. So even before that very first email, and you need to be very specific about what that promise is, because if it's very general, it doesn't give you a sense of what that person really wants and what they really care about. It's just like, get my updates. Well, that doesn't really tell you much. So that person is unlikely to, well, you don't have a sense of what they really want. So it's difficult for you to match what you write and how you write it specifically to their needs. So I guess that's the first thing, is having a very clear some copy before they get onto the email list. And then basically the email list then becomes a journey. So what I like to do is I like to frame that initial piece so they're expecting a certain outcome. So whether it's an email course, that's probably, you know, that's an easy thing to do because then people are expecting to get a whole bunch of emails about a certain topic. So yeah, that's how I guess I would start it. And then, yeah, then it's just taking them down a certain journey. So I don't know if you want to give an example or if we should use an example that's more specific, because it's sure. Otherwise I'm just being very general here.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna pick a proper business. Just so okay. for the sake of it, I just want to say you are very specific into something that we talked about in the podcast many times about positioning, about understanding the jobs that you're. Product or your service is being hired for, like the jobs to be done approach. So you're really yes. into profiling, understanding your audience, using empathy maps, using avatars, using, you know, getting insights from different sources. And yes. in this episode, what I'd like to do is actually to go beyond that and talk about the meaty stuff about the hook and the storytelling about it, because we talked about this first aspect a few times before. And what I feel is probably one of the most interesting thing I've ever read in marketing is what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. You see what I did there? I'm not saying what it is. So let's pick a business and let's assume that we do have a certain understanding of the audience. And perhaps for the sake of the example, perhaps you want to pick a business that you're familiar with so that you don't make up stuff.
Okay. So why don't I pick your business? Your podcast, because I found it a few weeks ago. And I've been through, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 of your podcasts. But guess what? I've not been through them all. And the reason why I haven't been through them all is because they're not all relevant to me. I've chosen and I've handpicked those 8 podcasts so far that are the most relevant for me. So I've consumed them. So, and I love everything you're doing, but that doesn't mean every single piece of content that you're going to have is going to be relevant to me. And therefore, you know, I'm not going to care about all of it. So I think that's the first distinction. Most people sell they don't just sell one thing, like one specific thing, because then it's easy, right? Then you know that they want to know about a certain thing. So, if, for example, our email course, there's the prospect side of it, and then there's the customer side of it. And I know that people that have come to that, because it's so specific, well, they want to know more about email. Whereas your podcast show, you know, that's more general in the sense that it's all about marketing, all the different elements of marketing, which is great. But then because it's so much more broader, although it's, you know, because it's hitting all those different topics, those obviously are not going to be relevant to every single person that loves marketing, especially no bullshit marketing, right?
Yes.
So, so then from that point, me opting into your list like I did, I obviously wanted to, you know, hear about more of your stuff. So at that point, you could have started to do something a bit more clever, in the sense that trying to understand which one of all your, I don't know how many podcasts you've got, but out of that pool of stuff, which ones are the most relevant for me? So that's the problem that you're trying to solve using automation, right?
Yes. So let me cut you right here, because we need to just lay down a few foundations before moving on to the meaty stuff. I'm glad you picked the podcast, because I do know my audience a bit, and you are a marketer as well, and you would understand that. So just to give you an idea, the main, I say, like, three audiences that are listening to the podcast are, number one, people who are looking to get into the marketing space, either because they want to get a career into marketing or because they want to start a marketing project. So that's number one. So beginners. Number two would be people who are like tech people, like developers who are looking to use marketing in order to launch their stuff. So they are more technical people. And the reason why they give a shit about this podcast is because usually technical people tend to really hate marketing. And the third one would be people like you, experts or people who have experience in marketing, who want to have different perspective on things because they've been in the industry for so long, they're sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three audiences, right? And let's pick one of them and go through a typical hook that we can offer.
I think it's good. It kind of starts before that, because you're going to have all three of those, you know, those categories that you've just mentioned, right? Those broad categories, you're going to have all of them joining your email list. And there's probably people that fall into different categories that you just haven't, spoken about yet. So, you want to, as quickly as possible, identify what those buckets are, right? And then tailor make those emails. So those emails that those people receive, like the emails that I receive, won't just be that stock standard three emails that you have programmed for everybody. That would be slightly different. And again, there's so many different ways to solve this problem using email automation. So I think the easiest one to understand could be this, right? So the very first email that goes out would just be a, hey, you know, and introducing yourself. And giving some context about why people should pay attention to you. Obviously, they've probably seen some of it on your website, but again, you can go deeper with that, or maybe even tell a little story, right? And then basically that email could end off with, you know, it'll mean the world to me and it'll help me send you more open emails, is if you could just tell me, or, you know, identify to me which of these categories you're interested in. So you could then list out, because I noticed when you go to your podcast show, you've got topics. You've already identified topics, right? Some marketing strategy, startups, social media, and a few things. So you could have those topics there, or you can be more specific and say, you know, are you into positioning or copywriting or whatever, right? So you can ask those questions then based on the links that people click on or the little check boxes that they select. Your email automation software can then tag me as I'm interested in positioning and jobs to be done and things like that. And I'm not interested in learning how to do a podcast show because I'm a shy introvert. So I'm never going to do one, although I enjoy consuming them. And then your system can then say, you know, if this tag exists, then launch this email sequence. And that email sequence can then take me down a journey that's more relevant to my needs. And you can start to talk about stories about, so your podcast I listened to the other day was on positioning. I forget the gentleman's name, but you know, in that email, you could tell a little story about positioning and how it's, you know, how you can use it, and then use that as a segue into, and by the way, here's this really cool podcast that I did with whoever his name is.
Philip Morgan, yeah. So let's stop here, because you are delivering a lot of insight and a lot of value, and it's important for listeners to understand the steps required. So you would actually think about in advance of the buckets that people would fall in, that would be potentially interested in. And once again, this comes with research. So we are skipping this part right now because there's a lot of interesting thing regarding storytelling that I wanted to nail. And there are a few episodes before talking about customer research that you can listen to. But the thing here that is extremely important is to think about your audience first and to deliver them what they care about. So If you're meeting someone for the first time in a marketing conference and you introduce yourself and talk about what you believe in, what you fight against, et cetera, et cetera, it's very likely that the first question you're going to ask is, and you, what do you do? Or, you know, what do you believe in? Or why are you here? And you will naturally ask questions, right?
Yes.
While in my kind of shitty email updates that I send, I don't do that at all. I don't ask them any questions. I just send them information that they might care about, they might not care about, as you said. So what you actually basically advise is to follow the process you would use face-to-face and translate it into an email or an email sequence, right?
Yes.
And there's an interesting thing that you're mentioning here is the fact that you can tag links and tag them with a specific, you know, tag in your email software and then automatically send the next thing. So I want to make a pause here because in this podcast, I tend not to talk about technology and product too much because those changes quite a lot. But email has been around for so long that I think it's safe to talk about them. So I personally use ConvertKit to do this. And ConvertKit, you might mention a few others in the next few seconds, but ConvertKit allows you to select and tag people who clicked on specific links. So the welcome email or the email the second day could very well be click on the link that describes you the best, like that is the closest to who you are. I am a marketing expert. I have no clue what marketing is, right? And then you can tag them, those people, appropriately, right?
Yes, exactly. And in fact, I'm not sure if they still have it. I'm presuming they do. If you go to fool.com, so Fool is the Motley Fool. It's a finance investment newsletter. And that very, very first email, because they've identified that there's the new investor, there's the retired person that just wants to put their money somewhere, and there's I forget what the third category is. But they basically just ask, it's a very short email, and they ask those three things: are you this person, or this person? And they've got a little picture for each one. So they've essentially, you know, they've taken the custom avatar and they've associated with a certain link. So those people can self-select right at the gate, and then everything else is going to be based on that selection. So yes, that's a similar thing to what we've just said now.
Apart from ConvertKit, which is quite good for people who just like bloggers, professional bloggers, what other tools would you recommend to get started in tagging people in the right buckets?
I love ConvertKit. I think it's a great solution. I use Drip. So drip.co, I think, is their site, or GetDrip. I was using ActiveCampaign before that, but there's some elements with some things that I just personally don't like about ActiveCampaign, so I migrated to Drip. I think, you know, any of those systems, and there's many of them, are fine so long as it can do what you need it to do, and it can do all the automations. And then once you get a bit more granular, there might be certain quirky things like the email editor, which is where I spend all my time with ActiveCampaign, is just terrible. So I just, to the point where I just couldn't use it anymore. Whereas the Drip one and the ConvertKit one are great. They're amazing. I would probably err away from using some systems like Aweber or MailChimp, because they're just too basic and they're very list-based, and that's not what we want to do. So whereas ConvertKit, Drip, ActiveCampaign are tagging system. So everything's flat, and you basically tag people based on interest or based on anything really. And then you can send emails based on those tags. So it's very flat, whereas all the old stuff is list-based, and which is just a terrible way of doing it.
So we would send this welcome email. Basically, I would talk about the why the podcast is here, what I'm fighting against. And then the second email would be, okay, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? And you will click on the first link if we tag you, and therefore we launch a sequence after that. Or you would click on the other link, it would tag you with a different tag, and that's going to be the start of another sequence. What I like very much about this approach is not only are you able to segment people, but you're also able to segment inactive people, right? You are able to segment people who don't do anything on your emails whatsoever, right?
Yes, and then that triggers something else, and then we get to delete them. Or, you know, send out a certain email that says, hey, you're about to be deleted because you're not clicking on those things, and therefore, obviously, what I'm sending to you doesn't seem to be relevant anymore, and I'm all about relevancy. So if you don't do anything in the next 24 hours, you'll be automatically deleted. And it works great. It's they'll either be deleted or they suddenly fire into life and say, oh, no, please don't delete me. And then they click the links and they back in the system again.
So this is a thought that would give marketers goosebumps, because what do you mean we're going to delete like half of our email subscribers? Like we work so hard in getting this list like to 5,000 people. Why should we delete all of those people? I can already hear those asking this. And it's fair. It's a fair question. I guess, as you said, it's all about relevance. Why would you send emails to people who don't care about you, who never read them, who have flagged them as spam a while ago? There's no absolutely no point sending them emails, right?
In fact, it's a negative. It's doing you a disservice, because those emails that you're sending out aren't reaching those primary inboxes now, because people like Google have figured out that, well, you mass sending to 100,000 people, but only 5,000 are actually paying attention and clicking the links. So in their eyes, you just don't, you know, you aren't as trustworthy. So I think it's great to use list hygiene to keep your list as tight and as relevant as possible. So that's what we do all the time, and that's why our open rates and click rates are so crazy high.
Tell me more. Like let's make a pause and talk about your numbers a little bit. What's your typical open rate?
Let me go into my drip now. So I'll just read from the top down. And again, because when I send emails, it's very rarely to everybody. It's always to very, you know, segmented segments of people. So starting on the list, 79.5, 83.3, 75.6, 70.7, 77.1, 83.7, 63.7, 54.1. So
wow.
That's just some of them.
It's the dream. It's a dream from a lot of marketers, I can guarantee you. Because like, if you hit more than 30%, people are happy usually, or even 20% at this stage. So that's pretty interesting. Now, I want to go a little bit more in details about the hook that you would choose in order to get people in and in order to make people sign up to your email. Why the fuck would they sign up to your email in the first place? And after that, we can talk about the thing that I found to be the most powerful in your method. So how do you typically choose a hook, let's say, for my technical people who are looking to use marketing in order to launch their product? What would you try to get them in?
What I do is to come up with a big idea, and you know, this doesn't mean that you're always gonna hit a home run out the gate, which is why this is a process. So for example, I will read every morning on my iPad or my iPhone. I've got the Apple News app. I've got another thing called Flippad, which basically is just a news aggregator, and then you can just tell it, you know, all the different categories that you're interested in. So I'll just flip through news stories and just read little things. And all the time, every single time, there's always ideas, because, you know, people don't get ideas by staring at a computer screen, you know, trying to think of an idea, right? That's not ideas come. Ideas come is when you're reading something and then it sparks an idea that then you can connect to something else. And that's how you have an idea. So the more that you broaden your domain knowledge about just stuff in general, you will then get these ideas. So then as soon as, say, if I'm reading something, so the other day I was reading something on Bitcoin, or this morning, I forget when it was. And the way that it was written, it gave me some ideas of how I could connect that to something else that I'm doing, which has got nothing to do with Bitcoin, but you can use that as context, right? So then I'll just, in the app, just say save, and then it'll save that post. On Medium is great because I love reading Medium. And Medium make it really easy for you just to save articles, right? And then I'll always come back to my save list on Medium or the Apple app or Flipboard, and then use that to create my big idea. And the big idea then is just connecting an idea that's out there to what I'm wanting them to focus their attention on. So, I don't know if that answers the question, but that's certainly a way that I find that's really good, is just the more stuff that you consume and be willing to connect ideas. I think Stephen King said something like that, whereas, ideas are these random things, and you get it in the moment when you read something, and then you can connect that thing to something else. And there, and that in that moment, you've then created that little idea that didn't exist before.
So that's interesting, and obviously that makes a lot of sense. So you would connect a story with what you want them to get into. That's basically, I think, what you're talking about here, which is, let's say, talking about Bitcoin, understanding what's going on with Bitcoin, and your brain would almost naturally make a kind of a connection with the job that you want them to do, or the thing you want them to care about, right?
Yeah, so to give a real example, then I've got the site that I'd written this thing ages ago. It must have been, I don't know, 2010 maybe. And I was reading through this magazine, Ireland magazine, and it spoke about this. You know, if you wanted to retire and go to this island, Vanuatu or Vanuatu, I don't know how to pronounce it, and they were rated as the number one happiest place to live on the world by the Happy Planet Index. And I just thought this was an amazing story. Although it had nothing to do with what I'm doing per se, it created this amazing hook, this big idea that I could hook people into, and then through that tie that into something else that I know that they would be interested in. So, I mean, you can see that live if you go to philipbully.com. There's nothing for sale. It's just a few 9 pages of content. But that very first page, you can see the front page of the magazine. You can read the copy on the first page is all about that magazine and that story. And then as it gets nearer the bottom of that first page, it segues into how I spun that around and then connected it to something else that I know that they're interested in. So if that makes sense.
So the key word here is really storytelling, isn't it? It's about hooking people with a good story, something that would make their like something that we'd pay attention to, because that's what humans really do like, is stories. We do like that, right? So let's move on to the next step. We have understood, we have identified a hook, we have sent this first welcome email, this second email to understand who they are a little bit, and now we're going to build what you call a soap opera sequence, right? Like the soap opera sequence, yes. Which is like the basic, rom-com type TV shows that use... This weird thing that basically I've kept doing that for the last 25 minutes, and I don't know if you guys listeners have noticed, is that I keep referring to something that will happen, like the very meaty part of this episode. I don't mention it. I just open the loop and I don't close it. And your brain will say, "Fucking hell! I want to know what you're talking about. Tell me what this end will close the loop for me." And this is what happens with TV shows like Lost. Like, Breaking Bad and all those amazing TV shows, they basically create what you call open and nested loops. So tell me more about this, because that's really blew my mind. I really love this concept in storytelling.
Yeah. So, if you're listening to any of those TV programs, every single time without fail, at the end of every episode, there's going to be a big cliffhanger. Right. And there's going to be this big thing. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. And then the damn thing ends. Right. So in your mind, it's just churning away, and you have to tune in the next day. And if you binge watching, so we binge watch Netflix, and it's like, okay, one more episode then, and then one more turns into four more episodes, and next thing you know, you've just lost 5 hours of your life, right? And that's all to do with those open loops at the end, those cliffhangers. And so basically, I just took that idea and I use them in emails, and it works amazingly well. You can open up this loop, so this idea or this thought, but then you don't close it in that same email. And you might close that in the next email or the email after that. And you can open and close these things as many times as you want. And it just creates tension and anticipation for more. And that's how I get people to stay tuned into these emails. Otherwise, you know, when you're just sending out random broadcast emails, you can't use open loops because the next broadcast email is probably going to be completely different, right? So it's basically a soap opera sequence is this narrative that then can play out over however many emails, and within the context of those emails that are going out, you get the luxury of dropping these open loops to create more engagement and anticipation. And it's funny. I mean, you can do all sorts of little tricks. One of the things I like to do is in the email subject line is I'll say part one, and then the second email will be part two or step two or something like that, where they can see that there's this sequential thing. And then sometimes what I do is then I'll miss out one. So if they've just consumed part three, I'll miss out part four, and then it'll be part five on purpose, and it drives people nuts. They'll email back and say, I think I've just missed an email. I didn't receive part four. It's great. And it keeps them, interested, right?
So this is a phenomenal idea, and it's really simple, and everybody would say that makes complete sense, but you managed to turn this cliffhangers technique and this technique of open and nested loops within emails, and you have a very set process to do so. I loved how you explain how you actually do it. So you basically take blank sheets of paper or more importantly, blank emails, blank piece of text. You put that on your screen, you put like five or six columns, and you would start creating the story this way, and you would start creating the loops, closing, starting in one email, ending in three emails after. And the important thing that we need to talk about here is that you can, using this technique, open many loops before closing them, right? So a typical thing would be in a TV show, let's say in Breaking Bad, the main character will enter a shop and start talking about to the salesperson, and the salesperson will say, like, you know, back away or I'll kill you, and then boom, that moves on to another scene where it's maybe the girlfriend doing something else, and this leaves you to a cliffhanger where you want to know what happened to both, and you don't know. So you have, now you're engaged in two smaller stories that you want to know the end of. And this is how they get your attention. This is how TV show makers, movie makers get your attention.
Exactly. And it works so well. So typically in the main body of the email will be the main narrative that plays out. But what I also do is in the PS section is I'll have this little subplot. So it'll be this little sideways discussion or narrative that plays out that's got nothing to do with the main body. I mean, so in the PS, I could be more personal and talk about, you know, our cat and, well, I went here, there. And so there's these two things moving at the same time. And people love that. I mean, in fact, so many of our people just, they'll scroll down to the bottom and they'll read the PS first because they want to just see what I've written inside there. And again, it's just different things to get people really interested in the emails and consuming them all.
And I'm interested in how we can help listeners to set their first open, their first nest, their first hooks in their email. So what would you typically advise them to do in order to do so?
Okay, so let me think. A case study is a nice, easy way. So you could, so if you using a case study to tell somebody else's story. So you demonstrating somebody else as a hero that's achieved a certain result, right? So then obviously the reader is, and you've done it in such a way that essentially the avatar or the persona of that case study is matched to your reader. So when they're reading this, they're thinking, ah, that's like me, right? So then they're essentially injecting themselves into that story. And then within the context of that case study, you can say, you know, Lucy did something, but I'll tell you about that later. And then you just continue. So it's very subtle, and but it's like a bomb, and then you just let go, and it's very jarring, right? It's like, oh, I wanted to hear about that, and then you just break rapport and you just continue on. So that's probably the easiest way, and then you can tie that up in the next email. Hey, by the way, I forgot to end off on telling you about this thing about Lucy. Well, here it is, and then you can. Then you give it to them, right? You always got to relieve the pressure. You can't just open these loops and then never close them.
That's why, for example, with kids, that works really well. you know, you would tell them, no, I can't tell you this, you know, and they would say, please tell me.
Yeah, drives them nuts.
It's really wired into our brain. We need to know things. And we are not here trying to talk about manipulation, okay, because that's another topic altogether. It's more about making sure that you deliver the information that you want to them, what you know will help them in the best way possible, because people are lazy, people have no time, people have other stuff to do. And if you're not able to deliver this important information to them in the right way, you're going to lose them forever and you're never going to be able to make them to help them have an impact. So you need to see it this way. Storytelling is critical to marketing, and it's critical to everything we do as marketers. So that's been really interesting, kind of a step by step. And I think people can take away a lot of things from it. I would suggest people to try it out at a smaller scale and see how it compares to their normal open race. I'm definitely going to start doing it. I can guarantee. So to talk about you, Andre, a little bit more, we were discussing that a little bit before we started the recording, but your name is very French. So I would pronounce it André Chaperon, but you pronounce it André Chaperon. So that's fine. I can deal with that. you're the owner of Tiny Little Businesses. And the course we are talking about right now is Autoresponder Madness, which has been around for how many years?
Version one we released in 2009. So we're on to the third iteration and the third edition, and the fourth one will be next year, early next year.
It's truly amazing how evergreen this type of content can be, and truly it's a fantastic storytelling. So just to be clear for listeners, Andre is not paying me to do this episode. I'm genuinely really interested in what he did, and his course is really fantastic. So I would really advise you at least to go to his website, tinylittlebusinesses.com. Because you will be hooked by just starting to read a few lines. Be careful, it's quite addictive. Because we're in the topic of storytelling, Andre, I'd like to know, is there a story in particular that would summarize what made you who you are today?
No. Well, I mean, I'm a shy introvert, so and who happens to be dyslexic, so I wasn't supposed to be a writer, right? I mean, that's the thing that I shouldn't have done. But I guess because I'm a shy introvert, when I first tried email, it was so amazing because it allowed me to just, you know, from a piece of text, just type some stuff out and then send it, and I could send it and I could communicate with an audience of people and still be a shy introvert. And that was just magical for me. So I just got better and better and better at it. So I think that's one of the keys, is the more you do something, the better you're going to get at it. Even if you're terrible and you just shouldn't be a writer, you can definitely get better at it. So one of the other things you can do is just read a lot. I read lots of fiction. I read a lot more fiction than I read business books. Although I'm in business, because storytelling is so fundamental to everything that we do. I mean, if you can tell a story, then you win and your customers win, because, you know, you get to take something that's relevant to them and translate it into something that matters to them. Everybody loves stories, right? So I think that's the big tip, is just read fiction. The very first fiction book I read was, like a proper fiction book, was Persuader by Lee Child, which is book number 7 of his Jack Reacher series. And I was 35 at the time, 43 now, so that was a few years ago. And it just changed everything for me. And it's had the biggest impact on my writing style is reading those Lee Child books, those Jack Reacher books. So for me, that was like the biggest shift. It's like, oh, wow, this writing is amazing. And then it was basically me just taking that and applying it to, you know, business writing. Yeah.
So you were able to take away key things from those books, right?
Yes, his writing style. It's very short, punchy sentences, and it's just written so well. So although it's just fiction, you can take those elements and just use them straight away. You know, just make your sentences shorter and more punchy. You don't have to start sentences with the. You can start them with any word you want, and essentially you just write like you speak. And if you speak and you start a sentence with and, well, then you start a sentence with and. It's no different with email. So I guess I just got better over time, and I think that's anybody can do that. There's no, and I guess people will hate me for saying this, but there's no quick fix. You're not going to suddenly become the world's best email writer in 1 week. It's just something that you'll get better at over time. And yeah, the more you write, the more you read, the better you're going to get. Simple as that.
It's great because you answered a question I didn't ask yet, which is fantastic. But I want
to read minds.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we do. I wanted to ask you more about resources that you would recommend people to use, but I guess this is it. And this is a very great tip for me, particularly because I do read a lot, but I read business books, and I'm starting to get sick of it because I get the same insights over and over again. So as of today, right now, I pledge to you, I will buy those books and I will fucking read them and I will apply them to my marketing because I'm sick of reading business books and I'm sick of listening to business podcasts. And let's read fiction a little bit more. Let's open our minds. And as you said at the very start of this episode, which I like quite a lot, the more you open your mind to new things and stories and different angles, the more you'll be able to relate to what you're trying to tell people, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I can recommend two books to get, the one would be Persuader by Lee Child. So the Jack Reacher book, which is just pure fiction, but it's written so amazingly well, it'll impact how you write in whichever market you're in. And another book you can get, which is another $7 or $8, is a book by my good friend Michael Haig, which is he's a Hollywood story consultant. So it's called Storytelling Made Easy. So just type in Michael Haig into Amazon and find the book. It's like $7 or $8. And it's basically, it takes you through an entire storytelling framework that you can apply then to anything you want, not just for writing fiction, but for writing business and backstories and origin stories and all sorts of stuff. So that's probably less than $20 worth of education that I think you can totally benefit from.
And we talked about your courses, which is Autoresponder Madness. You have a few other courses that we'll let people discover if they go to your website. There's a few interesting ones that you should check out, tinylittlebusinesses.com. You see what I did there? I just created an opening nest and people have to close it themselves.
It's very good.
Yeah, you see I'm trying to apply stuff straight away. The third resource, apart from Lee Charles and your good friend on storytelling, what would be the third resource you would recommend to guests? And please get away from business stuff. Tell me more about those fiction things, fiction books.
Yes. Okay. So I forget what it's called now. That's it. Pines, Wayward Pines. Okay, so it's a three book series. The first two books are free, or in fact, all three books are free if you're on Kindle Unlimited. So the first one is called Pines. It's the Wayward Pines. They actually made a little TV series on it a few years ago, and the author's called Blake Crouch. It's probably one of the best fiction serials that I've ever read. So it's only three books long. The first one's called Pines, the second one's called Wayward, and the third one's called The Last Town. And seriously, it'll hook you to death. And there's open loops at the Wazoo. They're just, it's insane. I fell in love with reading the book. I couldn't put it down. And then I had to read the second book, and then I had to read the third book. In fact, I actually got the audio series as well, the Kindle one. And because the narrator does such an amazing job of narrating the story. So then I'll basically listen to the audio version, but on my Kindle, on my iPhone, and I'll actually read it. So as he's narrating it, I'm reading the book. So I still get to see the words. And it's amazing. So I think you will enjoy that.
The best proof that this is good storytelling is that even a storyteller needs his fix, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That is interesting. Right. You've been amazing. I think it's opening up a lot of ideas for listeners, and hopefully for me as well. I'm going to start to put my ass in gear in order to improve what I do, to deliver the right information to the right people at the right time. Andre, you've been an absolute pleasure to deal with. I really appreciate the effort you're making, because as you mentioned, you are a shy introvert, and it's not necessarily the format nor the medium you're the most familiar with or comfortable with, but you did an amazing job, and I really appreciate it. Before we close this episode, where can people connect with you, learn more from you, and where can people connect with you?
I'm not on the social medias on purpose. I avoid them. So I think the only way is to just go to my website and click on the contact button, and you can shoot me an email and we can chat. I read and answer all our emails. Although we have a support desk, I still get to see the emails. That's the one way. Tinylittlebusinesses.com. If you go /email, it's our email series. It's free. I think it plays out over a 30-day period, and it basically it goes deep into all these different elements that we've spoken about here. Yeah, and there's nothing to buy if you don't want to buy anything. That's it.
I wanted to say something, but I completely fucking forgot. So I guess we're gonna have to close it to this. But once again, Andre, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
That's it for another episode of EveryoneHatesMarketers.com, and this is the moment where I tell you to subscribe to our email list. So before you leave and go to another podcast or listen to another episode, I don't treat email list the way people usually treat their email list. I really treat that as a one-to-one conversation. So I'm going to send you very short and personal emails every 2 weeks, I would say. I'll inform you of guests in advance. I'll share with you my numbers and how many listens we get, and I'll also ask you for your feedback in terms of the questions we can ask future guests, and perhaps I can also have you on the show someday. So don't be afraid to subscribe. I'm not going to spam you, and you can always unsubscribe for sure if you wish. The second thing we need from you is your harsh and honest feedback. We know that this show is not perfect yet, and we always can improve. So you can send us your email at feedback@everyonehatesmarketers.com. Good or bad, please feel free to send me an email. And the last thing I'd like from you is that if you did like the episode, please share it to your friends, your colleagues, or whoever might like it. And also please review it on iTunes or another service that you might use to listen to your podcast. Because if you leave us a 5-star review, it means that more people will be likely to listen, and we can spread the word quicker. So thank you so much once again, and au revoir.